Welcome to the Talk Over Podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over Podcast page on Spotify.
DJ Cable's in the building.
What's up?
I'm like DJ Cable. What's going
DJ
on, brother?
DJ Cable, how are you, brother?
I'm good, and I just spilled water in my fucking face.
That's the way to get
off. Yeah, I know. I'm good. Busy, which is always nice. August is looking pretty hectic, which is good. Can't complain. Just, you know.
So Cable is like one of the most technical DJs that I kind of talk to, like DMC, ex-DMC champ, UK champ. Club DJ, like does doubles in a bit of everything. We've been friends for quite a minute now.
Many years, turn-ups
later. For some people that might not know what DMC means, that's like the, if you're a chef and you get like your Michelin star, right, for being like a super bad chef, and you know your restaurant is popping. If you get a DMC championship as a DJ, that's like, you know, you've got techers right there. So like, one thing I remember seeing DJ Cable's gold digger routine.
Bruv,
the way you fucked that tune up, like, almost quit that day. I'm not even gonna lie, almost quit. I think what I was searching for, I was trying to learn how to properly crab scratch. This isn't even that long ago. I'm talking like 3-4 years ago, because I was like, I knew I was lacking certain scratches, and I thought, you know what, I need some more scratch routines just to throw a bit of seasoning on what I already do. So I was just going through stuff, and obviously I've known you for a long, long time, and your name, you know, you get on these YouTube trails and that, and then I saw it must have been YouTube, or it was someone there anyway, and it said Cable's Gold Digger routine. DJ Cable, like, what's this? What's he doing with Gold Digger? Obviously super commercial record. I know you're not a super commercial guy, so I'm like, what's he doing? Bruv, like I say, by the end of the video, like, I had tears streaming down my face. I had my laptop in my hand ready to just dash it in the bin.
Oh shit.
And the way you did that, bro, was just amazing. Anyone listening or watching, pause this podcast now. Go and check out Cable's Gold Digger routine. What is it, like 3 minutes long, 4 minutes long?
It's like about 2.5,
So it's short.
The funny thing is that routine is now like 12 years old.
Right.
So I did that in my 2006 UK finals routine.
Oh my lord.
I can't even remember how to do it anymore.
Right,
like,
okay.
It's that old. Like, I've still got the records, like, still with, like, the sticker cues and everything like that. Yeah. And I did pull it out.
Was that on Serato or normal vinyl?
This is pre-Serato. So this is like
real vinyl.
Yeah, man.
Fuck.
When you had to get two copies.
Bro, you know what? That's just, that's blowing my mind even more that you can do that without the needle skipping.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, me and Blakey were talking about this the other week, so, like, DMC days, like, you know, it was fun, it was great, kind of stressful, like, spending, like, you know, fucking hours practicing, like, you know, a two-click orbit or whatever, you know, trying to get your scratches down, but you put so much time and effort into, like, doing these, like, these competitions, and that you could have one, like, slight fuck-up with a needle, and that's it, you just got one shot of DMC. So if, like, your, like, record skips, or if your needle breaks, or your sticker moves, or anything like that,
that's it.
You're
fucked. The whole entire thing gone.
Yeah, and that's happened a few times. That definitely happened. Like, some of the regional heats, like, it, you know, just wasn't working, or maybe, you know, I don't know, like, you just fuck up your routine, or you know muscle memory, like you might forget something, and it was an exciting time, but it was also like very, very stressful, which, you know, now when you see like Rebel Freestyle, when you see obviously DMC have incorporated like Serato into it, it makes life so much easier.
How do you feel about that, like, in a sense of knowing the trials and tribulations you have to go through 12 years ago to do that, and really, like, you've really got to have, I can't emphasize it enough, the skill that you have to have to be able to do that sort of thing on real vinyl. And then now when I see like the Red Bull freestyles and certain things, people just have, what is it, the S9, isn't it, with the buttons,
and all
they're doing is just tapping a drum, like a drum pattern with certain cue points
and
stuff.
You can do so much like cool shit with it now, like, you know, I think like DJ Cross's routine, he like played KRS-One a cappella like off the sample player, and it was like juggling instrumentals over the top,
right?
That's cool. You can, it opens up to kind of like do so much other stuff. And, you know, if you're kind of approaching it like with like an actual like turntable-ish like brain, and like, all right, cool, it allows me to do this, you know, as opposed to like, you know, just sitting there and pressing buttons and looking pretty on stage and stuff, then I'm all for it, man. Like, I wouldn't want to go back to like using vinyl competitions or even in clubs. I mean, you know, it's, you know, records would skip, you know, they might get warped like under the heat and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the lights
yeah.
and that, you know, that's happened a few times. Someone might steal your records when you're not looking, like, you know, you might go back to back with another DJ and you're like, oh, where did my Redman 12 go? Oh, it's, why is it in your bag, bruv? Like,
wow.
You
know, yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah, no, them vinyl days were real, man.
In it.
Yeah, you know, needles getting stolen, like, you know, headphones going missing, slip mats going missing. Like, yeah, I don't miss that. I just enjoy turning
and carrying, just getting it there. Carrying, bruv. That's when I actually used to have friends and everything, yeah? And I had two guys, big up Barry and Bruno, they went through the struggles with me. And they would carry the boxes through the club with
Barry
me.
Barry and Bruno, you know.
Barry and Bruno, man. Like two of my closest friends, they used to come to the clubs with me.
That's one thing I do appreciate is the amount of equipment you can take to the club now. It's literally, well, either USB, Serato box.
I like, still carry 12-10s to the club, so I'm sort of...
Yeah, to double still takes 12-10s to every booking, man.
Yeah,
like that's commitment, G.
I had a modified, right? So I had, you know how all the wires are hardwired into the 12-10s? I had all of that stripped out. I had it internally earthed. You ain't got that shit little wire that's the earth wire. It's all internally earthed. And the plugs for the 12-10s are the same as the CDJs.
Yo,
so you can literally unplug the CDJs, plug it straight into the 12-10. Boom, good to go. Makes life so much simpler.
And I don't even need a backpack. I'll just turn it with like a USB key.
Is it just USB now for you? Yeah,
just USB. Well, for I'd say 95% of my bookings, USB. And then for like Nike Town, that's obviously... We got an S9 and the Pioneer turntables there, so we'll bring a laptop. And if I do like the Mondrian Hotel on a Sunday, which is actually like one of the sickest gigs I ever do, it's it's 90s hip hop and R&B.
Yeah, I've seen some posts from Martin about that, and he puts like request lists up,
bro,
and it's like
amazing.
The most like left field sickest like hip hop requests in the Mondrian.
And you're encouraged to go deep. So I mean, like one Sunday I played everything from like SWV to like Company Flow to like, you know, I was playing like, you know, J Live remixes of, you know, like Keith Murray tunes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, insane.
I didn't know bookings like that still existed anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got Searchlight far and wide for them. And that's the thing. It's like, there's so many opportunities out there that people don't really know about. And, you know, there's like a lot of cool gigs I do that I don't necessarily like shout about on social media, you know, that I like to keep low key. But yeah, you know, everyone thinks it begins and ends like with clubs and festivals and brand, you know, activations and things like that. So many like cool little spaces you can play at, you know. You can play in a restaurant, you can play like in like a hotel bar somewhere, you can, you know, play in like a public space, like an art gallery or like a museum and all these kind of like cool little spaces and stuff. And yeah, I'm surprised that no one's really kind of like, you know, caught onto it yet. You know, it's there's definitely money to be made out there, man.
Mm. Do you think it's important for DJs to have the technical abilities now? Because one thing I've noticed is I can even just something as simple as doing a live mashup, so throwing an acapella out there in the club and then just throwing a different instrumental live there and then in the club when people are there. No one seems to notice / care. It's only me that I'm like, oi, this is sick, and I'm just in my little bubble. Yeah. I don't think half the time even the promoters know what's going on. Do you know what I mean? And with so many like, we've bigged them up before, but so many people doing edits and sending them out, all DJs can just play mashups there and there. So do you think, like, from your opinion, do you think it's important for DJs to have the technical ability, or is it just like, whatever, now it doesn't even matter?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually going to post a video on Instagram. I did like this wordplay thing with like Hardy Caprio going into gigs, talking the hardest, and I played it in like a packed club, right? So there's like about 500 people in the main room. Played it and like I looked at my mate and I was like, yeah, I fucked it up. And like, everyone's there, like, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, you know, sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to.
No.
But in terms of technical ability and stuff, like, it's weird. So it's like people are celebrating like mediocre shit right now, you know, like whether it's like music or fashion or, you know, we're in an age where people's expectations are a lot lower than what it used to be. And I think just because, you know, a lot of things are disposable, a lot of things are quite far away. And I think with DJs as well, like, I think people to an extent have like stopped caring and stopped trying.
That's what I was going to say, man.
I think things like freestyle, that's kind of put more of an emphasis on doing wordplay, doing time play, doing, you know, like stuff a little bit above the average skill level. And you're seeing people like, you know, whether it's like Donch or Chris Martin or, you know, some of us guys like doing routines in clubs and that, you know, it's, you kind of see more of like a resurgence of people doing that. stuff that's kind of more accessible to the average person, because you know they're not going to sit there and understand the Gold Digger routine, for example. They're just gonna be like, play the fucking record.
Oh, what's he doing? What's he doing with it? Why is it drum and bass now?
Exactly. And I think people's expectations, like I said, are lower. They just want to hear the hits now. You know how it is. Like you know, rarely do I even play a song past like the second verse unless I'm playing like a warm up set. Now it's like 30 seconds of this, 30 seconds of that. I might even only just play the hook of a tune before I go into the next one.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know what I mean?
You got to keep it moving.
But then
so
you get some bit, bruv, I do that sometimes and someone will come up and go, oh, can you play that again? But can you play the whole song?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, the fuck am I? Do I look like Spotify?
You do. Like, I'm literally the same as Cable, man. Like, it's first chorus. Like, I like to keep the, like you say, people get bored so quick now, man.
Yeah.
Like, you get like a second verse one and people, they'll stand still.
You need to maintain that energy sometimes and just keep it like moving like quick. And you know, there are some times where you can kind of let the tune breathe, you know, you like to kind of keep, you know, give people like a breather and stuff. But yeah, I think going back to it, like obviously technical ability is important to a certain extent. You need to be able to mix two records together. Obviously there's people out there that can't do that, that are getting bookings, and normally it's like, you know, fashion DJs, influencers, and you know, like celebrities.
You don't even with the sync on Serato, and I think Virtual DJ has it now.
Yeah.
Tractor probably has it. I've never used it, so I don't know.
I
don't think you even need to mix the two together anymore.
But that's the thing. I'm not even bothered about sync. Like, I don't, you know, a few years ago I might have been like, oh, it's kind of cheating, but I'm not really bothered about people using sync. You know, it's, you know, fine, they're using it, okay. You know, if you can fuck that rave up, cool. You know, whether you're just like one dropping records, or whether you're, you know, doing turntable shit, or whether you're just doing, you know, just smooth blends from like, you know, one track to the other.
I like the sync when people use it, but they're using it because they've got so much shit going on around
loads
it,
of
you
stuff
know what I mean?
Going,
so it allows them to be more creative with what they're doing. If it's just a guy coming in and it's just straight up cutting these mixes, I don't know, man.
If his selection is tight, absolute levels, then fine, you know, so be it. It's like, you know, guy's not taking my job away, guy's not taking money away from me, do you know what I mean? You know, okay. I'm still out here relevant in the clubs doing my thing, touch wood. You know, so I've got no real kind of issue with it. I mean, you do see like on Facebook, like, you know, 40 plus year old like grumpy DJs going, oh, well, this guy's, you know, using Serato, he's not using real vinyl, or you know, he's using a controller and that. And yeah, don't get me wrong, it's, you know, it's a bit whack when someone's taking a controller to a club where there's a pre-installed setup and they're unplugging CDJs to put it on top and stuff. Like, it's unnecessary. But you know, if you're doing like a private event or corporate event or even a wedding, for example, like, controllers are a godsend. Like, I don't want to be lugging like, you know, two turntables and a mixer, you know, if I'm doing a wedding for someone.
Yeah, for them kind of things it's cool. Like, I did a wedding not long ago and rented a controller for the night. So it's like, it just makes life easier, man. You're not going to lug a, well, double wood though, this is the
I'm
thing.
There, bro.
I was about to say,
there,
oh, you're care. Not going to lug a set of turntables and that to a wedding,
there,
but double
I'm
it,
lugging,
roll up,
bro.
Sound system, decks.
But you know
what?
Mine's not from a, well, I don't want it to evolve, I don't want to use a controller. I literally just love using turntables.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what I don't use them for is if I'm doing an hour set, if I'm booked somewhere for an hour guest set, someone before me, someone after me, I'm not going to unplug everything and be that awkward guy that's, but if I'm doing the whole night, believe me, I'm taking them, man, because I just love using them. I find it so much more fun. Beat juggling, scratching, no one cares, I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of that stuff.
Do you know the thing that I liked about moving to a USB key is that it's similar to, like, vinyl days. You have a finite amount of space on that USB key. So you have to have a finite amount of records that we would have in, you know, like our record bags and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, it does pay to obviously have, like, a laptop full of tunes and stuff. Probably at like a wedding, for example, when you've got like a drunk aunt and you're coming up saying, can you play? can you download Dire Straits and play it now or something? Not that has ever happened to me, but you know, it's
Dire Straits, you know.
Yeah.
I've never tried a USB, man. Like, I'm so comfortable with having the screen and my whole library there. Like, obviously going back to like the old school way of loading up your crates and the USB, that's like dope, but I'm so roped in with Serato now, man. Like, I jumped on it when it first dropped and I've not left.
Had the emergency,
I've never looked
USB
back since, man.
I turn up a couple times without the laptop charger at the club, and like, where I listen to music in the car on the way to the club, if it's a 2 hour drive, I've got like 8% battery left on the laptop and
that's
a 4
deep.
Hour set to
oh,
do
that's
no
deep.
Charger USB, that's the only time. I don't utilize loops or cue points, so that's literally just like, And emergency mode, like, shit.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, like, you've got all this stuff at your disposal, and a lot of it is quite unnecessary for basic club DJing. You know, like, cue points, yeah, obviously, you know, because if you're going to, like, rock doubles maybe and do some kind of, like, accessible routine for Joe Public, then yeah. But like, loops and, like, you know, slicer functions and stuff like that, like, unless you're doing, like, an actual performance, like, whether it's, I don't know, like, for a video for, like, a DJ company, or if you're, like, booked to actually do, like, a proper showcase, like, DMC style, I think it's kind of redundant in the club sometimes. Like, you know, unless you're known and people are coming to see you to actually do that and do routines and stuff like Craze and Four Color Zach and, you know, Jazzy Jeff doing his, you know, Peter Piper routine. Mm-hmm. Like, for basic club DJing, like, a lot of these functions are really, like, just overkill. Like, I don't want to hear people, like, running loops and doing button mashing and all kinds of stuff. Like, if I'm out in the club, I just want to hear good selection, smooth transitions.
See, I'm different, man. I want to hear the DJ get creative. I want to know that you really know how to fuck it up and just a bit of cool, not too much, but, do you know what I mean? Like I said earlier, like, a bit of seasoning.
Yeah, just a little
sprinkle here and there, a bit of wordplay here and there, just to be like...
But that's just a DJ thing, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it is. Like, I was going to say to
DJs
us...
DJs want to be impressed by other DJs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the, you know, and it's the same, like, with people, like, dropping mixes on Mixcloud all the time, and I'm not firing shots, by the way.
Fucking Mixcloud.
Wow. Wow. That one is sent for me.
Right in your face, man. Right in your face.
To be fair, that shit happened by accident, man. Like, I built it to the point where I created a demand for it and then just never stopped, man.
And that's cool, because you've done it, like, you know, like, just to, you know, put on content.
Yeah.
Hashtag content. But yeah, there's people that are, like, dropping mixes and doing this and doing that, and it really is just impressed, like, other DJs, and, you know, that's cool. You know, you've got other DJs in your mentions going, that's sick. Is it translating to bookings? Is it translating to other opportunities?
That's the thing. I had a thing that I started called the 10-minute tribute. And it was a mix where basically it would take me 3 days to do this 10-minute mix, yeah? And I'd dedicate it to an artist, do all my research, get every single banger and do a super mad technical mashup of all of their greatest songs in 10 minutes. Put it out on Mixcloud. I was so excited to launch it.
I know where this is going.
Like, four views in the first week. Week two, boom, DMX. That got like 6 views. And in week 3, I think, was Gangstar. And that was I just realised, bruv. Firstly, I was picking like, people that aren't really relevant anymore to begin with. Do you know what I mean? A DMX or a Gangstar mix, that's something I need to put on tape cassette and give to my old head.
Rather than aim at
social media or DJs. You know, I wasn't marketing it towards DJs. Uh-huh. But secondly, people want to listen to a mix. They want to listen to the hits. They don't want to listen to like me beat juggling the shit out of a Guru verse. They want. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear the fucking verse, man. That's why I put the mix on. Do you know what I mean? So like,
there is still an audience for that. And I think, you know, it's just trying to find that audience and market it to them in the right way. You know, obviously, if you're kind of like doing like a mix of, you know, like all the top 10 Drake tunes that are out there that everyone's playing at the moment, then that's fine. Everyone, you know, everyone listens to Drake within reason. what did you think of the album, by the way?
Drake's album.
There was too many songs, man.
It was exactly as I expected it to be. Drake's a very smart guy, right? Because he understands that streaming is where the money comes from. Drake's been there. He's done that. He's proved already by Berry and Meek that he can do the rap thing. He's proved by songs like Controller, Blem, all the older stuff that he can do the girl thing. Mm-hmm. He can do the up-tempo thing. He can do the pop thing. And so the album was just a collection of all these different things. So he knows how to reach all these different types of people and get them streaming the album.
He's a clever guy.
Do you know what I mean? So whether it's him making his decisions or the business people behind it, they understand that all of these streams collectively make revenue. Mm-hmm. So rather than just be like, right, cool, well, let's just make sure all the rap heads know I'm the best rapper, and then everyone who likes rap streams it, but then everyone who likes the chart singy stuff listens once, there's nothing on here.
The thing that kind of frustrated me is that like 5 minutes after the album's out, people are tweeting, this is a classic.
Oh man, don't get.
But
I don't
welcome
get
to 2018, man.
Yeah, man.
You got like big publications, man. They're tweeting their reviews after listening to it for 1 hour on the first day, and it's
I wasn't on it at first, man. It took me several listens. I like the album now, but it took me a fair few listens.
I was more surprised that there was a Primo beat on there, and you know, after hearing that, I was like, do you know what? I would love to hear like a 10-track album of like Drake doing tunes like Sanchez Royce. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like that would be. Yeah, and he's proved he can do it, like with Lord Knows. Like Lord Knows is like a, you know, one of his best tunes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think having like an actual rap album of him like barring hard, like that would be sick. I would definitely, you know.
It'd never happen. There's not the market for that kind of Drake.
But he's at that level where he could do that.
Yeah,
he could.
I
think so. He's got so much power behind him now, man. I reckon he could put out what he wants, man, and people will take it.
I personally feel Pusha's dented him massively. Situation. Mm-hmm. And the way I view Drake now is he has peaked. He's now on the downward turn. I feel like, you know,
I think he is.
I feel like
he's not going to go away anytime soon.
No, I'm not saying he's going to go away. I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing. And this is coming from a huge Drake fan as well. I'm a big fan of Drake, the rap Drake, the singing Drake,
and
the pop
this
Drake.
This is coming from a Pusha fan as well. Like, I'm the ultimate clip stan as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
But I think the Pusha T situation damaged him, especially me. Like, I'm like, Pusha won. Pusha buried you in that whole situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't even respond to it. You put one Instagram post out and... Like, I'm a rap fan. I want you to come back with a record. Do you know what I mean? But he didn't want to smoke.
Yeah, Drake let me down on that one, man. I was so expecting
the reply.
That's
why I feel like he's
got told to fall back,
turn.
I think. But he didn't want that heat with Pusha, man. He underestimated him, innit? So much.
At the same time, it could have all been orchestrated.
Possibly.
I have thought about this. Drake, because Drake did some work on Kanye's album. He's credited in there. And so why would it not be like, well, cool, let's just create a little bit of smoke between you and Pusha, then we can get the streams going Pusha's way and reignite, because no one cared about Pusha T before that. Like, the stands did, but no one did. Ask anyone in the clubs, you play a Pusha T record, who does this?
That's true.
Even the Chase and Status record that banged. But do you know what I mean? Hard. Like, no one cared about Pusha T before that, but it made him relevant, streamed his album again. So it could have all been orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Drake knew it was going to go that far. But then you got to listen again to Drake's album. There's a lot of lines in that where he does refer to his son, so it was always going to come out.
So dead.
So what's next for you guys anyway? Like, how's your summer looking?
Good, man, to be fair. Like, I pulled back on the bookings going aboard this year, man. I just got engaged in it, so it was...
Congratulations.
Thank you, bro. So it was like a wifey thing this summer. I had to kind of pull back on the bookings, like left Marbs, left Napper out. I think I only done like the Malia gig, really. But no, it's been a good summer, man. It's more of a family summer for me this year after 10 years of
grinding.
absolutely battering it, man. So yeah, this is the first one where I've kind of sat back and I'd say chill, but I haven't really chilled. But yeah, I took 2 weeks off in the middle of the summer where we should be travelling around and doing gigs. But it's breath of fresh air, man. Like, come back refreshed now, ready to go for September.
There's nothing like having that time off. We spoke about this on the phone,
man,
already.
You need it.
Having that 2-3 weeks away from DJing and then coming back with just that refreshed brain, like...
I don't like unplugging for that long. I'm a bit weird.
It's
like
mad
that,
because
man.
It feels like, because we're living in such a fast-paced world now, it feels like, shit, if I'm out the game for 2 weeks, fucking everything could happen and I might come back and have no career.
In reality, nothing happens.
Nothing changes and it's just nice to have the reset. And I've learned that. I've got a little boy as well, so he's nearly 6. And for me, where this job is so full-on, I don't get much family time at all. Literally, I get Sundays and that's basically it, where from when I wake up to when I go to bed, I do nothing music related and I spend time with my missus and my son 1 day a week, which isn't enough for me. So when the holiday time comes around, I get on the plane, my phone goes on airplane mode and stays there for 10 days.
Sick.
Literally 10 days, I don't look at social media, don't listen to new music, I don't do anything but just focus on being a human being.
I made a promise that I would delete, man, when I went away. It never happened.
Hmm?
I'm so bad. I said when I went away, I was going to disconnect, man.
I have no
problems
doing it.
Checking my Instagram and that. It's bad.
I have no problems doing it. Wait till Mini Stylist comes along, bruv. You'll be like, switch off straight away.
No, that's not me. So. Can just about look after myself, mate. I can't look after no children.
Definitely.
Been sick having you on, dude.
Thank you, Cable.
We've definitely got to get you in for more topics. We've got some burying to do, bro. I know. We've got some... I need you on my side burying some people and burying some institutions and stuff.
We can make that happen, definitely.
Hashtag TalkOver Podcast. Is that what we're using now? TalkOver Podcast.
Yeah, TalkOver Podcast. You got it right, G.
Yes.
Subscribe to the channel.